You see, what we've learned is that there's always more in the kingdom. And you probably know the scriptures where the prophet was taken ankle deep into the river and then knee deep, waist deep, and deeper. And this amazing thing started to happen to me in India, second trip to India. I started to feel the power of God on my feet. And when I feel that tingling, thanks, you may take your seats. When I started to feel that the tingling on my feet, people were getting healed. And I asked the Lord later, God, what is this? What is this tingling I'm sensing on my feet? And the Lord said to me, you are now toe deep in the Holy Spirit. There's more. I feel knee deep at this moment. It's, I don't know how this works, but it's just my discernment of spirit. But I really sense there's a river that flows, and through our praises and through our faith, it's like suddenly we go deeper. It's like there's just a river of life. And one of the things we've learned is that sometimes, you know, when people fall under the Spirit, and it's a bit weird, but it's like, you know, if you go to the sea and you stand in the waves and a big waves hits you, what's going to happen? You're going to fall. So it's like waves that crashes into people, and then they fall. I sense God wants to resurrect identities and destinies in this session. And also what we're trying to show you now, I've never heard the word molotsi before. So I checked on Google Translate. How cool is that? Sesutu, counselor. I'm like, Holy Spirit weekend. I make the connection. But doesn't that just change the game? That you just know that that's a word from God. He's alive. Amen. Come on, let's say it. He's alive. And he's powerful. Last time I checked, the tomb is empty. He is risen. And he still brings resurrection life into our hearts. So, Nastasha, you had a word, just what you felt like before the about destiny, identity, just confirm.
Last night I just felt like God is saying that he's going to breathe onto dormant destinies. So there's many of you that you've heard the plans of God in your life. You know what God is saying about your life, but you haven't seen much of it. And I felt like God is saying that he's going to do it, that he's going to come and breathe. Andre was saying just now also a lot about breathing, and I felt literally like it's going to feel like he's going onto destinies, into purposes, into plans that he's placed in your life. He's going to bring life. He's going to awaken it. He's going to do it. It's not going to feel like you need to leave here and you need to try harder, or you need to be more bold, or you need to hear better, or anything like that. He's going to breathe his spirit on it. It's all available in the spirit. And I really feel like there's also a lot of you that you wake up thinking about the lost, and you wake up thinking about this town and Franschhoek needing Jesus, and it's on your mind and it's on your heart constantly. You have a burning passion for lives to come into the kingdom of God, and you feel like you don't always know what to do with that passion. You don't know how to express it. You don't know how to lead people to salvation, or you haven't seen much of it. And I felt like God said Franschhoek is a place where you are sent ones. The sent ones live here in Franschhoek. The sent ones of God are here. This is an evangelistic hub where people, I also felt this morning that this is a place where there's a lot of people coming in from different countries and they're leaving again. And you are his sent ones, South Africa is a breadbasket of revival that will go into the nations. And I felt like Franschhoek is a hub where the sent ones of God live. And so I felt God is going to raise up evangelists in this church where you know there's an evangelistic anointing on your life, where your heart hungers to see the lost saved, but you haven't seen much of it happening. There's going to come an anointing upon your life where you're just going to go out. You're going to have boldness like you never had before. You're going to receive words for people you meet in the streets, and you're going to see people come to salvation like this, like you haven't seen before, because this is a hub where the sent ones of God love.
And I just, as she was sharing, I just felt that God's going to break out in Groendal. Amen. I really feel God's going to move mightily in Groendal. So take it, for those of you who live there, come on, be the fire starters. You see, the truth is, none of us really know who we are until God reveals to us who we are. So in 2012, I didn't have a clue who I am. So I went to an in shofar. I mean, we believed in prophecy all the years. And the one time in 2012, I went to another church. And there's this little, went into a room. They call the gathering of the coals, about giving more of God. So I went in. So you can put on my slides there. I want to speak up to you about God still speaks. Do you have those slides? Yeah. So I went in 2012 to this other church, and I went into this room, and they were, in 2012 is where things started to. I was desperate for more of God, okay, desperate. You need to be desperate. You need to desire. You need to be hungry for more. And I was in that journey, and I was just like, I will go anyway. If someone has something on their lives, I will go there, and I was like, please, Lord, I'm going to humble myself. You know, there was a church in town there with us, and they were a little bit weird. I think they're still a little bit weird. And there were weird things happening, weird manifestations. And the one time, I was a little bit judgmental, and it was in the season, though, I was asking God for more. And then two of my leaders started to go to this other church in the evening services. I was so offended. Because they went there because they experienced more of God there. Yo, so I was super offended. I'm like, how dare another church in town have more of Jesus than we have? You know, it was just like, it's just wrong. And then I was offended, and I was actually negative about the whole thing. And then the Lord rebuked me, and He said to me, either you humble yourself and you receive, or you remain proud and you receive nothing. You know, there's a humility that comes to this game. And sometimes what you're looking for comes in a package that looks very weird. It's not the package you're longing for. God, any other package, but not this package. Not this type of thing, you know. And we don't need to be weird to have more of God. But this other church, they unlocked a prophetic anointing. You know. And so I went to this meeting, and I went to this little room, and there were five people there. So you go in, and I sit on the chair, and then they took out a recording device, and then the five of them prophesied over me. And one of the five was a 10-year-old child. Yeah. And I experienced a measure of the prophetic that I have never seen or experienced myself. You know, I've had words, but I've seen very few prophetic words come to pass. It's almost like nice ideas. Oh, that sounds cool. Oh, that sounds cool. You know, but there wasn't power on those words to bring change. And when I went into this little room, they started to prophesy. And it's almost like it unlocked a whole lot of stuff. So in that season, I feel if you want the fullness of God, you need to start with a prophetic. You need to have a word. And they started to prophesy that over my life, the fivefold ministry, it's all five rests upon my life. And that started me down a journey of reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, pursuing God about the fivefold ministry. Over the next few years, God started to unlock that. But so many things were prophesied in that moment. And I was weeping. I got up I walked out of the room. I fell on my knees. I was just bawling. God was touching me. I knew this was God. And I humbled myself and said, God, we don't have this, but I want this. And I'm willing to learn from others. I'm willing. You see, there are fivefold ministers all across the world who write books, who have videos. And I was just starting to consume books and videos. And I was just, God, I thank you for what I'm seeing. I want that. Because I know they're a gift to the body. The fivefold ministers, they are a gift to the body. They help us go deeper into the fivefold ministry. Into the fivefold anointings. So anyway, so that prophetic word started a journey But I realized if I look back, you know, if you don't have the prophetic word, you won't make it. Because life happens. Life happens, and then life tells you a whole lot of other stuff. So in this session, I basically want to say this to you. The voice of evil breaks us down. But the voice of God gives us the breakthrough. Amen. So the voice of evil, and we all know that voice. It says, you're not good enough. You're not holy enough. You don't qualify. Who do you think you are to come to this church? These people are so holy. What are you doing here? That voice that condemns and accuses and breaks us down. And we have wrestled and Sonic has wrestled. This is our biggest fight. The voices. The voice of the enemy. No, God's not going to work through you. No, you're not good enough. No, you haven't prayed enough. And the enemy wants us to work for something that he gives us by faith. Yes, we need to pray. But it's different praying from a place of victory and praying for a place of victory. You see, we fight from victory, not for victory. It is finished. We live from a place that we are children of the Most High God. Jesus has won it all. It is finished. Sin has been broken, and death has been broken, and sickness has been broken, and the power of evil has been destroyed through the power of Jesus Christ. It is done. Now you and I, we are children of God, and by faith we can simply receive everything that Jesus has won for us. I mean, it does not bring glory to God if we say, well, I fasted for 40 days and then. You know, yes, maybe God led you to fast for 40 days and that's awesome. But when I was younger in God, I fasted to try and prove something. Because I was so insecure. For years I had an orphan spirit on my life, and I tried to prove that I am somebody in the kingdom. It's a horrible place to be. I am somebody in the kingdom because of who I am in Jesus. You are somebody. You are significant in God because of who you are in God. You're significant. But you need to get revelation of it. And prophecy comes and unveils who you are. But the voice of evil breaks us down. And breaks us down and breaks us down. And then circumstances, bad things happen. What happens? The enemy says, see, God's not good. He accuses God, and he accuses us. See, God's not with you. Lies of the enemy. This is the biggest fight. That's why you need prophetic words, and then you need to stand on the prophetic words. You need to proclaim the prophetic words. God, but you said. Then you need to stand on God's word, and you say, God, but you say in your word. You need to make declarations continuously, daily. 20 times a day if you have to stand against the lies of the enemy. So we had a guy with us, his name is John Huisen, and he has been with us, he was one of the leaders at our men's camp, one of the 30-35 guys, and his dad came to the men's camp, and on this past Saturday afternoon, lunchtime, he sat with his dad, and he said, Dad, I just don't feel good enough. I'm not as powerful as these other guys. And then he shared, like, for 6 years, it was 6 years ago was the last time he actually, like, said something in church. When it's altar call time, he slips out the back not to pray for anybody. And then as he was sitting with his dad said to him, but you know that's a lie. And he said, when his dad said to him, you know that's a lie, something broke. Something shifted. He said that evening when he walked into worship for the first time in 6 years, he felt the presence and the power of God. And then suddenly he prayed, and he prayed for Steve's son, James, and his knee got healed. And John was crying, and James were crying, and God was moving. But everything shifted simply when he realized it's a lie. It's a lie. Come on, say it. It's a lie. The devil is a liar and those lies bind us. The moment truth is released, the chains are broken. And prophecy is one of the most powerful tools of God to break the lies. Because suddenly God says, but this is how I see you. And the prophecy is God looking into the future. And then he comes back and he says, hey, I see you. So God sees who you are, will be, and who you are becoming. And then he comes back in time. And then he releases an anointing to kickstart that process. It's epic. I love it. You know, so I've been through some challenges in my journey with God. So I was a student pastor at Shofar Tigerberg in 2006, 2007. And I've always been a stepping out type of guy. I tend to risk stuff. And it blew up a few times in my face. And so the one time that we had a lady in the office on staff, her name is Kathy. She's diagnosed with cancer in her spine. And we knew for about 2 weeks. And I was in this one service the one night. And I was to preach the next Sunday. And in that service, during worship, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, next week, preach on healing. So I, like I do, went, took the mic, didn't ask the senior pastor, didn't ask permission, we didn't do healing services. And I announced, next week I'm preaching, bring sick people, we're going to step out. Because I was like, this lady had 6 months to live. That's what the doctor said, 6 months. So I was like, it made logical sense to me. We have 6 months, so let's do this. Let's trust for this lady friend of ours. Let's trust God. So the evening came in. I fasted a bit that week. I prayed my heart. I prayed passionately. I got my message. And I'm at that stage, I had only like 1.5 people healed. So they brought Kathy to the service. She was lying on a mattress at the back of the service. She was in such pain. Preached my heart out for like an hour. And then they brought her forward. They almost had to carry her forward. So we're gonna step out now. So we prayed. And I mean, I don't know what to do. I just know Jesus is awesome. So we pray and nothing happened. And they, after a while, but the whole church was crying. Everyone was crying. So emotional. I mean, this is the goal we care about. And so they took her back to the mattress. And then I felt like getting words of knowledge. I felt like an elbow, a knee, a shoulder, started to pray for people. And it suddenly looked like people were getting healed. They were testing themselves. And it looked like they were getting healed. And I was like, yes, my international healing ministry has just begun. We tend to jump the gun, don't we? And we are 6 months for Kathy. That was a Sunday night. Tuesday morning, the senior pastor phoned me and said, Kathy's dead. Oh. And then I spoke to some of the people that felt they were healed, and they said, no, the pain came back. Yes. I hit the gutter. I stepped out. She died. We were supposed to have 6 weeks. Doctors, come on. 6 months. So I fell into such a hole. My leaders came down on me as well because they said, I damaged the church. I injured the church. I should not have had a healing service. So one of the senior leaders had to come and preach the next week to sort of help everybody function. I was in trouble. It was the second big mistake I've made. And judgment error from, I was just like, but Jesus said, I'm going to step out when God says, you know. So anyway, I fell into massive holes, shame, guilt. And in that season, just after that, some of my leaders spoke to me. And they said to me, Andre, you don't have an anointing for ministry. You can only do admin. No offense to the admin people. I was a full-time pastor for 5 years at that time. And I had a master's degree in engineering. And there were good times. God was moving. And there's now, so I'm failing there. My leaders are telling me, you suck, basically. You don't have an anointing for ministry. Then they demoted me. They basically moved me from Tigerberg to Stellenbosch to head office, and they made me the administrative assistant to Heinrich Titus, who was the Bible school registrar. And it felt like life is over. Ministry's over. Man, it was horrific. I fell into a depression for 8 months. This felt like such a failure. Felt like such a loser. I mean, even at the funeral with Kathy, I hid at the back. I was just like, you're such a loser. I just hear voices. You're such a loser. You're so pathetic. It took me 6 years, again, to pray for anybody. 6 years before I prayed for a sick person again. Around 2012, I started to pray for sick people again. So I was like this little boat, you know, just on the waters, the storm. There were no wind in my sails. I had no power. I didn't know who I was, and I had no sense of destiny. I didn't know where I was going. I was lost on the seas, and I was like, I'm never going to lead a church again. I'm never going to do ministry again. I'm just like going to do my admin stuff. But I decided one thing, God, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to serve because I want to be part of something that's impacting lives, and Shofar was impacting lives. So I'm in. God, I'm going to serve. But I was depressed for quite a while. And then the prophetic word started to come to call me back into who I really am. You see, even in that time at Tigerberg, as I was being moved to Stellenbosch, the one lady came to me and she said to me, I see a vision of you with a tent over you, and the whole tent falls into you, over you, and you're struggling under this tent. And I realized that's exactly what happened. My covering fell upon me, my leadership. The guys who were supposed to believe in me and encourage me, they killed me in that moment. But I thank God for that. Because in that journey, I learned that who the heck cares what people think? It only matters what God says. Amen. And in that vision, she saw at some stage the canopy just opening up and more space than ever before. And that's exactly what happened, exactly according to what, as I humbled myself, as I chose to serve, as I chose to not to be offended, but to forgive from the heart. You know, I drove from Tigerberg to Stellenbosch in that season of switching to head office in Stellenbosch. And as I was driving, I heard a voice say to me, you're not being celebrated here. Resign. You've got a master's degree in engineering. Come on. Go work. And that made sense to me. I guess God is telling me to go. Leave this nonsense. Go. A week later, the Lord spoke to me in a prayer meeting with some friends, and he said to me, it wasn't I who spoke to you. It was your offense that spoke to you. The enemy tried to deceive me, and he tried to lead me out of my calling. If I left, I would have lost possibly everything that I'm walking in now. You see, the journey to the place where God can trust you and me with great power, as Spider-Man says, with great power comes great responsibility. And if there's not a dying to self, where you know, well, when it's a miracle, it's Jesus. I had to die. I had to die to self. I had to choose to be a humble servant of God and serve other people's vision and serve where God has positioned me, even when I'm not celebrated or whatever. I'm going to humble myself and follow Jesus. I mean, I sat in this one coffee shop with one of the pastors from Cape Town in that season, and I was just negative. Afgepak. I was complaining about the leaders and this and that and that. And at some point he rebuked me, this friend of mine, he rebuked me and said, your heart is fraught. Your heart is rotten. So I sat there in the coffee shop, crying. Yes, reg. My heart is fraught. My heart is rotten. But there's something I got right is that I was always willing to humble myself. I was always willing to be teachable. I was always willing to listen. Are you willing to humble yourself? I couldn't see. In my little world, it was the end of the road. But God, like, man, I've got these awesome plans for you. And even in the season from 2012, stepping out and trusting God for the supernatural, I got so much persecution from other people. My leaders and people just claiming, "Oh, yeah, you're just full of yourself. You're pursuing your own." Yeah, no, no. It's like, I was just getting from everywhere. But God, I know this is you. I remember I was at Convergence the one year, and I wasn't preaching or teaching. I was just facilitating one of the sessions. It was a national conference, yearly conference. And I was standing on the stage, and I felt God the Father just whisper to my heart, say to me, "Andre, look at the people." So I looked at the people, and about 1,300 people were there. Then the Lord said to me, the Father said to me, "This is a small crowd compared to where I'm taking you." I was like, "Are you sure?" 9 months later, ministering in Brazil at a church of 6,000 people. Not vain imaginations. The word of God. You see, that's the power of prophecy. If it is a word from God, you're going to see it coming to pass. But I realize now the seasons I had to go through, I had to die to self so that when God moves, I can, "Jesus, this is you. Take all the glory. I know I'm nothing without you." But the prophetic word is so powerful. You see, and a real prophetic word is, as the one guy says, it's like the red on the blue. The blue is your own words. It's like going to someone and saying, "Jesus loves you." Prophecy is when you say exactly the same words, "Jesus loves you." But there's the red on the blue. There's grace, there's empowerment, the anointing is resting on it. So I can say exactly the same thing, "God loves you," and that will rock your world. That will change your life. There's the power of heaven to cause it to come to be. So you don't need to say, "Thus saith the Lord." You don't need to do prophetic voice. Deep prophetic voice. It's, "Hey, I feel God is saying this to you. I feel this is a word for you." But you need to take the step. Test it. But this is what I'm feeling God's laying on my heart. Amen. And so God is so faithful. So the voice of evil, it breaks us down. The voice of evil distracts us. The voice of evil keeps us from pursuing the will of God. 1 Corinthians 14:1. It says, "Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy." Isn't that interesting? He's highlighting prophecy above every other gifting. Why? I believe it's the key to every other gifting. The prophetic word is like a flashlight. I see this, I had this vision of like it's a heavenly storeroom. God says, it's all in there. Everything you need, it's there. Only catches, it's quite dark. You don't know where what is. But at the door, there's a flashlight. The flashlight's called prophecy. And then through prophecy, it's how you attain those graces in your life. Like healing. I can see it is on your life. And it's like it brings it to you. It gives you access to that area of your life. And it will always be connected also to your identity, to how you see yourself. So how many times God would speak to me about who I am. "Andre, this is who you are. This is how I see you. You are these things." I'm like, "Are you sure?" This is the battle, the identity battle. And the challenge is, and this is something the Lord laid on my heart. He said to me, "Love people, stay in my presence, and I will do the rest." You see, but the enemy wants to wound us in our hearts. That's been my biggest test over the last 10 years. Stuff happens. And the worst is when it's someone like a leader, a loved one, a spouse, a boss, someone that you actually looked up to, when they say those words or do those things. That is what wounds the most. So the one time I was super disillusioned with someone in my life, and And I couldn't connect to God. I was just like, God, where are you? Couldn't connect. And then we were in a small group meeting. We were just worshiping, and the guys were worshiping. And then the Lord said to me, the only reason you're disillusioned is because you're looking to man and not to me. The only reason you are disillusioned is because you're looking to man and not to me. And the moment I repented and I got my eyes back on God, I mean, that song, Fix Our Eyes, the Shofar Band song, it is so powerful. We fix our eyes on you. Your biggest storm is your greatest key to breakthrough. The biggest trials and challenges in your life, if you handle it right, it's the key to your breakthrough. As we've seen it with our lives, with me and with Sonica and the things, our biggest trials pushed me into a corner. Either walk away from God or go deeper. I choose go deeper. Amen. Come on, let's say it. I'm going deeper. Amen. Come on, say thank you, Jesus, for difficult things. Amen. I tell our guys often, think about the most difficult person in your life right now. We all have someone. The most difficult, challenging, freak you out person in your life. I've got good news to you. That person is your ticket to glory. So next time you see them, you say, hey, you are my ticket to glory. Come on, say it. You are. My ticket to glory. Amen. You see, now this is the challenging thing for many people. You are at point A and you get a prophetic word that says, I'm taking you to B on the map. Eh? Straight line? Nuh-uh. It's like you go through the river, the crocodiles chase you, and you go over that mountain over there, and there's like bees attack you, and then you go over that challenging area there, and a lion comes for you, and then you go through that valley, and then and then victory, 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 and then you go through a massive valley, like the valley of the shadow of death, and then B, greatest victory you've ever seen. Because you held on to the word of God. God, but you've said. And then when you have the word, then you must walk into the direction that the word is saying. To some people, what do? They got a word and they put it into their pocket. They're like, oh, awesome, got a word. 20 years later, nothing. Why? They didn't do anything. Like, you're going to write books. You need to start working on it. Start learning grammar. Start practicing with blogs. You know, you can't just, oh, I'm going to write the book one day. And do nothing. That's being silly. You know, so people have, like they said, you have a seed in your pocket, but you never planted the seed. You never grew to a tree. But it's going to be a tree. No, no, no. You need to walk into the direction of that word. You need to get out and walk. And the one time, I mean, that night when we had our level zero meeting, that Thursday night, I woke up the next morning with a word in my heart. The first time, I've never experienced anything like this before, but that Friday morning, I woke up with these words resonating through my heart. The Lord said to me, every word will be tested. Every word will be tested. There's a trial, there's a season when you need to walk it out and you need to fight for it and you need to proclaim it and you need to see yourself as that and you need to proclaim that over your life. You see, prophecy is simply encouragement on steroids. Heavenly steroids. Prophecy. Prophecy is about encouraging people. You need to develop a lifestyle. You can't be good at prophecy when you're just seeing negative stuff the whole time. You need to be an encourager. You need to choose to see the good. And then God can come and bring on top of that. He can bring something beautiful. And that's the power of love as well. When you are negative, offended, judgmental, do not trust your ability to hear God's voice. You're going to hear wrong. You need to be full of love and joy and peace. So I've learned, if I'm not in lack of space, I'm not listening to anything except God's holy word. Amen. So another example of this was, I just want to reveal this to you in our journey. So we were, it was 2008, it was 6 months or so before we went to East London to plant the church there. Sonica went on holiday, we're driving back from Knysna, from holiday, and we're driving to Cape Town. And while we were in the car, suddenly the presence of God just filled the vehicle. It was just like, God is here. And then I heard the voice of God say to me, Andre, I'm going to transform you. I'm going to transform the two of you. You won't recognize yourselves soon. Man, again, I was bawling, God speaking. I can't see almost where I'm driving. But I wrote that down. But something, God kickstarted something right there. He called us back to our destiny. He called us back to our identities. And it's the truth. We are absolutely changed people, transformed. But the word of God kickstarted, but then you need to step out. Amen. So you need to step out in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, for their encouragement, and their comfort. Prophecy is encouragement on heavenly steroids. It's supernatural encouragement. It's just like, whoa, and it's your language. It's God speaking to you. He knows you so well. Heavenly, sorry, strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, there's a certain section of the church world that emphasizes prophetic judgment. Now, I was there. I was the guy looking for Freemasons and strongholds and demonic behind two demons behind every bush. As the one pastor said, I tell you, there's not a demon behind every bush. There are two demons behind every bush. That was me. I was Mr. Finding the Evil Somewhere. The fruit was terrible. It's horrible. I was the guy wanting to prophesy judgment and God's going to clap you. And it was really terrible. The impact on my life was not great. I have good news to you. Today is not judgment day. Today is the day of salvation. Judgment day is coming, but it's not today. It's one day in eternity. Every man, every woman will be judged. But this is the day of salvation. Let's release mercy, grace. We are called to keep judgment from coming. We're supposed to be the salt that preserves. We're supposed to be the guys that love people well despite their stuff. Do you remember who you were before you came to Jesus? I do too. Terrible. Mercy, encouragement, love. Can God still judge today? Yes, He can. He can do an Ananias and Sapphira at any time. When it pleases His purposes. He is God. No one can tell Him what He can or can't do. But we must err to the side of mercy. Do you want mercy? Then give mercy. Amen. So I learned this, well, the hard way. So Sonica wants to quickly share a bit of what the power of the prophetic in her life.
In the second term, 2015, Andre's passport got stolen in Argentina on their way back from a mission trip. I wasn't with him. I just got a message. My passport's stolen, and he had no idea how to get back into the country. It was quite a big drama. But it kick-started a nine-week season in both of our lives, but mostly my life, of torment, and it felt as if all my old issues are knocking on my door, literally. My insomnia came back worse than ever before, battled with fears, insecurities, condemnation, guilt, all kinds of emotions, things I felt I have dealt with, came back. And for a nine-week period, we worshipped night and day and prayed day and night, and nothing changed. And after 9 weeks, we had this appointment just with friends of ours, just a dinner appointment. And I still remember I was awake until 4 o'clock that morning. And I felt so defeated. I felt so ashamed. I wanted to run away. I didn't want to go that night because I knew they were going to ask me, are you sleeping? And I wasn't sleeping. And the whole church was praying for me, which was awesome in the beginning. But after 9 weeks, it's not funny if, you know, everybody's asking you if you're sleeping and you must confess that you're not sleeping. So I just wanted to hide away.
I felt so ashamed. But praise God, I didn't cancel that appointment. We went that night, and that couple that night, they looked me in the eye and they said, "Sonika, we know many people have prayed for you, but tonight we're going to pray again." And they prayed for me, and the two of them and Andre, they released over me words of prophecy for about 30 minutes. And praise God, we recorded everything that night. And they spoke straight into my destiny. And what God showed me then that night is the devil was trying to intimidate me. He was trying to silence me. He was bringing back all my old stuff. Like he was trying his best to put me in a corner and keep me there and convince me that everything I feel strongly about is not significant. And all the words that were released that night was about my role as Andre's wife, my role in the church. God spoke so clearly that who I am and what I feel strongly about is so crucial for us, for our future, for generations to come. I mean, the one thing Andre said to me is that God said that I'm a key ingredient to bring purification to what we were pursuing, the five flows, like Andre calls it, or like the fivefold ministry. And he said that without what I have, all these streams will become corrupted. And God basically just tell me that I need to be bold. I need to be courageous, and I need to boldly speak about the things that he lays on my heart. It changed everything for me. I almost want to say that I would have gone through that 9 weeks of hell again just to receive those 30 minutes of prophetic words over my life, because it changed everything. Because for so long I believed that, you know, the things I feel strongly about is integrity and humility and kindness and honor. And, you know, I just felt that it's not significant, you know, compared to other things. And I would compare myself with Andre, and I would feel inferior, and I could just feel that the enemy wants to shut me down. And God used the prophetic word powerfully to just show me that whatever I'm carrying is not insignificant. And I needed to hear that straight from the Lord. And, you know, I was so desperate in that time to break free from that torment that I was so open to hear from the Lord. And one specific outflow from that season was two mission trips with Andre, because also missions, I started avoiding missions because of negative experiences I had in the past. And God just clearly showed me I must do this again, and I must do it with Andre, because I had so many insecurities, especially around the things that Andre carries and the things that he's strong in. And God said to me, "Sonika, I want you to go, and I want you to go again." And we did two mission trips to Brazil, and I will never be the same again. My marriage will never be the same again. Our partnership and what God's doing, not only through him or through me, but through us, it will never be the same again. But it was almost a setup, you know. God used those 9 weeks to get my attention and to clearly speak into my destiny and into my life, and to make sure that I forever now understand that we are a team, and that it's not Andre, it's not me, it's not us individually, but he wants to use us as a team. And it's just amazing how that changed our whole relationship and our marriage. I mean, I would have never written a book if it wasn't for Andre. I would have never even maybe do what I do today if it wasn't for him, for his the words of encouragement. And we must become that for other people. We must surround ourselves, first of all, with people who are encouragers, who can speak the word of God, who can see the gold in us. And then we must become those people who speak those words. And to trust God for a word like a red on the blue, the word that's going to change your life forever. And all of us can be that person. Amen.
Praise God. So what she mentioned there about the looking for the gold. So some prophetic guys often speak about this. We tend in Christian circles, we pray for somebody and you're looking for the sin or what's wrong or whatever. Anybody can find dirt. It's harder to find gold, to find the good, to see as God sees, to speak destinies into being. to see. I mean, I think it's Chris Vellerton that said he was once in a meeting and the Holy Spirit highlighted someone to him. And he told the guy to stand up and he said, "The Lord says you are a holy man." And he didn't know, but the guy was a drug addict. And his friends brought him to church that night for like the first time. So all the friends were like, "Eek, false prophet." You see, but prophecy isn't speaking what is, it is speaking what will be. Amen. So 2 years later, a guy came to Chris and he said, "Do you remember me?" He said, "No, I was a drug addict. You prophesied. That night my life was transformed and I got off the drugs and Jesus changed. I am now a holy man." Amen. Praise be to God. And so you want to create a culture and environment for the prophetic. So we have developed that culture in our church. You know, so we've trained our people, I'll give you some practical things now, then we're going to do this. But you need to take out your phone and you need to open your audio app and you record. You forget in a moment what was said, what was prophesied. Then you need to value the word. You need to type it out. I have on Evernote. I have all my words, you know, and I go through them. "God, you said. God, you said." Then I go through testimonies of miracles God has done. "Yes, God, you did. And you're going to do it again." So I'm building up my faith continuously of who I am, of what God has said and what he has done. Then I focus on thanksgiving and praising him and say, "God, you've done it all. Do it again." Amen. Are you seeing it? There's this culture. You need to do warfare with those voice, the voice of the enemy, because the voice of the enemy breaks us down. But the voice of God gives us the breakthrough. So, do you have a word for your business, for your family, for your life, for your relationships? Do you have a word? And the word can simply be a scripture that God, the Holy Spirit, has highlighted. I mean, with our son, we were about 11 months into trusting God for a child. I was in a Mossel Bay. I was reading a passage. I came to John the Baptist where his dad was in the temple. The angel appeared. And then the angel said to him, "Your prayers have been answered and you will have a son." As I'm reading that, I'm like, it jumps out of me. And the Lord says, "That's yours right now." 2 weeks later, she was pregnant. Hallelujah. So it can literally just be a scripture. Base prophecies are scripture. That's just highlighted by the Holy Spirit. Like, it's now for you. Boom. It's yours. Amen. So prophecy. So you need to desire it. That's the primary one that you need to desire and to pursue. And I want to end off with the last verse, 2 Peter 1 verse 19. I'm jumping a few. Just 2 Peter 1 verse 19. It says it's so powerful. You see, the voice of God releases heaven on earth. It's like a light that shines in a dark place. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place. Isn't that beautiful? The prophetic word is like a light that shines in a dark place. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The fullness of Christ rising within you as you discover who you are and what you are called to. And often it's not the details, it's general words that reveals that you're his beloved, you are precious, you are, you know. The details sometimes comes later as you step out and you pursue him. So come on, let's say it. As a light that shines in a dark place. Say it, God. Let your light shine upon my heart and mind. In Jesus' name. So how does God speak? He speaks in vision. So it is a picture on the inside, your imagination. Quickly close your eyes. I want you to see a pink bunny. Are you seeing a pink bunny? Okay, now that is not prophecy. But that is where visions appear. the eye of your imagination. There's a canvas. There's a canvas. And with time, you learn that is of the Holy Spirit. And that's also, you can open your eyes again. That's also why the enemy assaults us with so much rubbish. Bad movies, pornography, a whole lot of other rubbish to defile the canvas. But by the blood of the Lamb, he cleanses the canvas so we can have heavenly visions. So often when you pray for somebody, it's like you start off by just thanking God. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you. You love this person. Just start with thanksgiving. You celebrate who God is. And then as your eyes are closed, then sometimes a picture appears. And then you just say exactly what you see. Don't interpret it. Just say what you see. Don't assume you know what it means. It means something to the person. So you're like, hey, I see this. Just clearly describe what you're seeing. And then if you feel it means something specific, you say, hey, I feel it means this. Might mean something else to you. But then you just, so that one way is vision. So often when I prophesy, I'm going from picture to picture. Picture to picture. And then the Holy Spirit will give me words. So as I said also, a word on the inside of you, a gentle whisper. The gentle voice of God that speaks on the inside. And then, as I said, scripture. God can highlight scripture. He can remind you of specific passages. It just comes to your mind. And the focus is to encourage, to strengthen, to comfort. Never to expose, never to condemn. So even if you're praying for somebody and God highlights their sin in their lives, don't focus on the sin. Saying, God, okay, so but what are you saying? What is the good you're going to bring? What's the good? Amen. Look at what God is seeing. Don't look at the darkness. Don't focus on the sin. Focus on redemption, on salvation, on life. Okay, quickly, a few practical tips that you can put on the screen. You need to believe. Come on, say believe. Believe. That God is always speaking. You must just tune in. Just tune in onto his, like radio waves, just tune in your radio. Often while we're praying in the Spirit or in tongues, it's like you tune in. When you do thanksgiving, when you do praise, as I often say, when you're not hearing the voice of God, then raise your voice to heaven in praise. Praise him. And then you can tune in. Enter his gates through thanksgiving and his courts through praise. Lift up his name. And then you can tune in. So secondly there, the thanksgiving and the blessing that you can enter into his presence. Thirdly, the pictures and the words, you need to record them. Use your phone and then type it up. Meditate on them. Put it on your wall. Proclaim it over your life. Then you must focus on I feel or I sense. It's much safer. It puts a lot of pressure on people when you say, well, God says. And try and stay away from proclaiming who people are going to marry and things like that. It is very dangerous. So you can go there when you are very mature in the Spirit, maybe. But I also try not, you shouldn't do it. You can confirm for somebody, but you should not tell them weird things. Okay. Be specific. Say exactly what you see or sense. Leave the interpretation up for the person to the person, unless you feel the Holy Spirit highlighting to you. Stop when the Spirit stops. You know, there's pressure sometimes when we prophesy. I want to impress the person. Oh, I still want to give them a good word. Don't. Just say what you feel God is saying. Bless them, pray for them. But when it comes to prophecy, just say what you feel. Don't try and impress people. You're going to go into the flesh. I have. Eek, pain look. Okay, learn that the hard way. Stop when the Spirit stops. What I mean is, when you prophesy, when you pray for somebody, often you feel like the Spirit of God coming upon you. You feel like you're aligning with the Spirit. And then you go as the Spirit is sharing and leading you pictures. You're feeling words on the inside of your heart, mind. But then at some point, you can almost feel like the Spirit lifts. Oh, that's how it works with me. Then stop. Okay. The number 7, test every word. It's your responsibility. You can't blame other people for giving you a wrong word. You need to test it. And if someone prophesies over you and it's condemning and it's breaking you down and it's really, reject it. If it's really bad, you can just tell them straight, dude, no, sorry, off, and he's just not. A false prophetic word can curse you. It can curse you. It can bind you. So you can't just ignore it. You actually need to say, I reject it. I mean, obviously, if it's not that bad, you can just walk away and just, I reject that in Jesus' name. You know? I break that in Jesus' name. So obviously, don't be ugly to the person if they're just learning and stepping out. But if it's like a mature believer or a pastor, prophet, whatever, and they give you a really off word, then just no. You know, we've had situations where people prophesy over Sonic and actually prophesied fearful things. That there's, she came back from a meeting or something, and she was weeping and weeping and weeping, and that these things were prophesied over her. And I said, well, we're going to renounce that now in Jesus' name. How can the prophetic word of God lead to fear? If it's a holy reverence for God, yes, that's beautiful. But not fear, like, oh, I see Job. I see Job in your future. No, man. Find something else. We love to take the exception and make it the rule. Job was exceptional. Don't make a rule from an exception. The thorn in Paul's flesh is the exception. So when you are the Apostle Paul and you write half of the New Testament, fine. Get a thorn. But before then... But before then, lost thy verse 8. Amen. We love to go, oh, poor me, I'm a thorn. No, man, how many revelations have you had? No, come on. Just humble yourself. You don't need a thorn to be humble. Amen. So if you have uneasiness in your spirit, reject it or renounce it if it's really bad. I mean, if it's just like, hey, Jesus loves you. And you just receive it as good. Amen. Awesome. Okay, so let's do practical. Okay, what we want to do now is who wasn't prayed for healing this morning or haven't been prayed for healing, please stand. You haven't been prayed for healing. Anybody else? Okay, who has been prayed for, but there hasn't been change in your body? Just quickly raise a hand before you stand. You have been prayed for, but you haven't experienced any change. Okay, please stand. Amen. So what we're going to do is, this is very important. You're not allowed to go to anybody that you know, because otherwise it's not going to work. You can't know the person. So what we're going to do is, for each one of these people, okay, guys with guys, ladies with ladies, and before you're going to pray for their healing, you're going to trust God for a word for them, okay? So can we just have one person go to each of them quickly? Somebody go stand with them. The rest of us stay seated for now, please. We first just want to cover them. Okay, you can get my awesome background music ready for me as well.